We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Talked a lot of Tennessee, South Carolina basketball. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check out the podcast, hours one and two, if you want to hear the breakdown of all of that, as now Tennessee basically just tries to ensure that they make the NIT. 14-11 on the season. They're tied with Alabama and Texas A&M at 6-6 in league play.
Well, let's just win the tournament.
That's a tie for seventh. Don't look now, but Missouri is ahead of Ole Miss, Arkansas, Georgia, and Vanderbilt. Well, tied or ahead of all those teams. Konzo. I mean, we're kind of mad at Rick Barnes. Konzo beat Pearl.
Did us a favor. Kind of.
Let's bring Konzo back, right?
Nate, I'm going to need you to leave.
Did you enjoy the XFL this weekend, Houston?
I did not get to watch as much as I wanted to, but yes, my Roughnecks, Billy's Roughnecks, took care of business, dispatching the Battlehawks. A little late touchdown gave your Battlehawks a nice cover. Congratulations. But the Roughnecks, they proved they belong.
It was 28-24, Houston over St. Louis. The two, I'd say the two most impressive quarterbacks so far.
Through two games. Cardale's up there, too.
Oh, yeah. I did forget about D.C. They look good. They rolled again, and D.C. now 2-0 on the season along with Houston. It was I saw some people complaining about the lack of offense after Saturday. I feel like Sunday was better because even though Dallas and L.A. kind of sputtered out of the gate, they still finished that one off. It was Dallas 25, L.A. 18. On Saturday, Cardale Jones and the D.C. Defenders blanked the New York Guardians 27-0, and Seattle beat Tampa Bay 17-9. The thing that was maybe the weirdest all weekend was the Guardians quarterback, Matt McGloin.
Man, they looked really good in week one. I mean, they played the Vipers, who aren't very good. They got blanked by DC.
And going into halftime, he gets interviewed, and he said, what do you need to kind of change for a second? He goes, we need to scrap the whole game plan and start over. And at first I was like, that's not that bad, I guess. I mean, it wasn't like he said the offensive coordinator sucks. But then he essentially did and doubled down after. And then they caught him mic'd up talking to the head coach saying, well, I don't want to name any names, but he just doesn't understand. And he even had the head coach mic'd up saying, well, I just got to get him more on the same page with me. And I was like, Matt McGloin, you just flushed any hope of an NFL career down the drain. Like, you can't do that, right? You can't be on the sideline saying, yeah, I'm not going to name names, but the offensive coordinator is ruining the team, head coach. Like, I'm just going to go ahead.
Is it true? Was it true? I don't know. If it's true, don't you want him over there being honest?
I feel like there's
maybe
a time.
Maybe not if he's mic'd up.
I feel like there's a time to be honest about evaluating, like, your boss, but it's not during the game.
Nah, he's trying to make a career. He's trying to.
Not during the game.
He's trying to make a career, and he's looking bad on TV because the offensive coordinator doesn't know the plays. Not having a good game plan.
I mean, when you or Davey complain about each other to me, you don't do it during the show. I mean, you do it behind each other's back.
Do we ever really do that?
You know, like,
do you complain to him about me? Because I don't really do that about you.
Not lately.
Okay.
No, neither of you do that. I wouldn't have said that if you actually did.
Just making sure. I'm going to ask him on the show if you got complaints.
While you're mic'd up.
Yeah.
That's why it's absurd. I don't know. It's like, buddy, you can't.
Anyway. I usually just keep them to myself or just put them out on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But anyway, like, it was the weirdest thing ever. A lot of people, you know, were like, oh, these sideline interviews, whatever, whatever, not a big deal. And then people were like, well, actually, no, it's changing the game. Because they interviewed the head coach and said, did you hear what your quarterback said? Going in? And he's like, no, I have to ask him about it. So that's why they had to talk about it on the sideline. It was a mess.
Maybe it needed to happen.
I kind of love it.
You just said it was bad for McGloin. Now you love it?
It's terrible for McGloin. It's great for the XFL.
Well, we'll see who gets cut. They did fire that D coordinator out of L.A. after week one.
Well,
send him packing.
G.A. Mangus is the New York Guardians offensive coordinator. it's funny because he was the South Carolina offensive coordinator when Steve Spurrier was there. And I can't remember if he got fired for this reason or if he just got in trouble, but at one point he had been trying to think the best way to say this. He had been using the restroom in public late night.
Mm.
Got in trouble for that as a college coach, and I hadn't seen him since until he just pops up in this game.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that goes.
Feels good to be number one in the league, though.
Congrats.
Wow. You said it, but it didn't seem real.
Well, I'm still annoyed by the officiating. One play, which they did review and corrected, but it was a third and long, and your boy P.J. Walker gets tackled. His elbow hits the ground, then his shoulders hit the ground, then his head hits the ground as he essentially rolls over backwards.
Backwards.
He pops up and starts running again, and they don't blow the whistle. They're like, yeah, looked good to me.
I love the attitude from P.J. Walker. Just no whistle, keep playing.
And then in a key point in the game, as the Battlehawks had the ball for the entire second half, were dominating the second half of the football game, had come all the way back, cut it to one score, and were driving for the go-ahead touchdown. Your Roughnecks jump off sides clearly right beside the football, and Jordan Tamu takes the snap and just chucks it deep because it should be a free play. Gets picked off and returned almost for a touchdown. No flag. So they basically just took away a possession from the Battlehawks and gifted another touchdown to Houston, and that was it. That was the end of the game. It was pretty much over.
I hate to see it.
I'm loving the XFL, though, even though my team lost. I got a Battlehawks chat started. Huh. All in.
P.J. Walker's the best quarterback in the league.
You think so?
Yeah, he had a couple of those throws where you're just like, whew. The sidearm touchdown.
That was good.
That was amazing.
He went 20 of 31 for 170 yards.
Short stuff. No interceptions, though. And they were all to Phillips. Phillips looks really, really good.
He had 8 for 63 and all 3 touchdowns. Jordan Tamu was 30 of 37 for 284.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
3 touchdowns. He had the 2 picks. One, his arm got hit, and then the second one, he had a free play.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
No, he did not.
I think our teams are going to win for week 3. I initially thought that the Renegades and the Roughnecks play each other, but that is not the case. They do both play on Saturday, but the Roughnecks are playing the Vipers.
3-0. Here you go.
Feels good.
I made money on that game at least. Aaron Murray was scratched, and I know you had said he sucked week 1.
He was brutal.
So I figured if the guys behind him were starting, no way.
They still play better without him.
Well, they were ahead because of a defensive touchdown. I was a little worried, but Seattle. I mean, I got money in with Seattle plus 2.5. I was like, surely. You know, the problem with the league right now is these coaches are buffoons. They're idiots. They can't do math.
Well, there's a reason.
They don't know when to go for 1, 2, 3. I mean, they don't know anything.
Well, didn't the math say go for 2 every time? I can't remember which game I was watching. It might have been, I think it was part of the Roughnecks Battlehawks game, and they were going for 1, and the guy's like, I don't know why you wouldn't go for 2 every time. It's 3 extra yards, but it's 2 points. If you're talking about probability, they just, nope, we're going for 1. We're going for 1. We're going
for 1. The Battlehawks were down 3 and went for 1. Went for 2, I think, or 1. They went for 1.
Well,
I don't think it's
half.
I don't really think it's so much as these coaches are dumb. I think most coaches in general are.
No,
we just
get
to hear
you're
that
right.
They're mic'd up,
yeah.
And then once they actually add a little bit of a change to the style of, well, we can't just kick an extra point.
Right. You know, and not just that, too, but the fact that they're so bad at it. It doesn't matter what they go for. There was a point in the Roughnecks Battlehawks game where they had scored more touchdowns than any other game all weekend and had made 0 conversions, and all of them had been 1s or 2s. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't like they were going for 3 every time. I'm like, you guys are morons. There was a situation where they were so the Battlehawks scored late, down 4. I mean, like really late, right? Like they were debating onside kicking or not.
Yeah, a minute and 50 seconds to go.
Well, what's
and
the onside
they went
kick
for
rule?
1. The onside kick rule is you have to declare that you're going to onside kick.
Yeah.
And then you get the 4th and 15 play.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was a kick because said you have to declare it.
No. It's you declare it because you're not kicking. You're going for it as far as a
it's a
so
play.
So that is the rule?
Yeah, it's 4th and 15.
I couldn't remember if that was a – I mean, we talked about that. But
yeah, they did it in the – one of the teams did it in the first week.
I thought that was the Pro Bowl they did that in or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still pretty sure there's no actual onside kick.
Well, find that out, because if it was First of all, they should have gone for it or onside's kicked it or whatever. That was dumb. But the dumbest thing is you're down four and you go for one. Never go for one down four.
They're trying to get to overtime. They're trying to be able to kick a field goal. I agree.
You go for two if you get it.
Someone said you're more likely to make it from the five than the two anyway, so the two-point conversion actually makes more sense.
I don't think I buy that if these teams would practice the conversions more because –
Well, I think they're just saying space.
The problem is like you, to be good from the two-yard line, you need to have really good misdirection run sets or RPOs. And these coaches just basically run traditional two-point plays, and they only have a couple good ones, and then once they're out, then they don't know what to do, and they just run dumb stuff constantly.
I put in the thread last week a decision conversion analysis chart that XFL.
They give the coaches this chart.
They don't even go by it.
Majority of the game, you should go for 2 points. In fact, you should go for 3 points more than you should go for 1 point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what 538 found out is that when you're down four, when you score the touchdown and you're down four, even in regular football, you should go for two, and no one ever does.
If you're down four at any point in the game, you should go for two. Under 13 minutes, you should go for three.
Well, that's the XFL stuff, and that's different because the extra point's not automatic.
Right.
But even in the NFL, it was under 10 minutes to go, I think, in NFL football. Unless you're like the worst team in the league at making two-pointers, you should go for two and you're down four. No coach ever does it.
It's kind of weird, though, because no coach goes by that, it actually kind of takes it all away. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, but imagine the advantage.
That's what I'm saying. If you were the one team who was not scared to go for it, it would really be an advantage for you. But since everybody disregards the analytics – the analytics are false. Like, they're false analytics because no one actually does what they're saying to do.
If I scored the first touchdown of the game, I would just go for three. Imagine being up 9-0. They're not making the ones anyway.
No, they're not.
I'm not making it for one, I'm just going from the 10.
That's what everybody's saying. They're like, with this added space, you actually have a better shot of making it based on the plays you call from the 10-yard line and the 2-yard line because there's open room to run. You can actually throw a slant and the guy can run after it. You got spacing between, you know, the corners and the safeties. They actually have to back up if you're on the 10-yard line. But no one does it. So it's none of the analytics matter.
Imagine
they're all
me,
just playing dumb ball together.
Imagine me handing you a chart and saying, Houston, this chart has been studied by people that know much more about the stock market than you. And if you go by it, I guarantee you will have more success long term. And you're going, good. E-Trade. Buy, sell. I don't care. I'll roll the dice.
I've been doing it this way for a long time. How much have you made? Yeah, not that much, but it's
right,
safe. I'm comfortable.
I'm in the XFL. I'm a big, high-level, successful football coach.
Yep.
The XFL has not implemented the 4th and 15. It says teams wishing to attempt an onside kick must indicate, as you said, Nate, this to an official before the play. The teams will be permitted to line up using traditional NFL rules.
So it's
the same thing as the NFL.
Traditional NFL?
So, like, in, you know how, like, in the XFL, they're lined up at the 30.
No, but they changed the...
So I'm saying this year's NFL rules, which suck for onside kicks.
Because they don't allow you to stack one side of the field.
Or can you, like, run up? Because that's... Like, what does traditional mean? Does it mean like 1995 NFL? Because those onside kicks were better.
Right. Because the new NFL, you can't run up and you can't have more than six players on one side of the ball.
And you can't pound the ball into the ground and pop it up because you can fair catch that now.
Yeah.
Just says traditional NFL rules 10 yards apart
from
the spot of
the kick. Yeah, well, the XFL blew that one. They should have done the 4th and 12 thing, or 4th and 15, whatever they want to set it at. Because, like, I mean, all bias aside, Houston, if you're just watching that game last night when the Battlehawks cut it to four, don't you want to see Ta'amu running 4th and 12 to try and keep it?
I would love
it. Instead of an onside kick?
Mm-hmm. And they didn't even do the onside kick. They just kicked it.
And then they couldn't – I guess it was a good decision to kick it if you're going to get a stop, but
– Well, and it's weird, too, because –
Your boy, June Jones, who knows that passing is more effective than running through the football.
On first down, picked up 9 yards.
That's what's going to – That's the only thing I hate about my St. Louis squad is their coaching staff has no idea how to call, like, football. Hmm. Like, passing is more effective than running. Like, you should build your team around the passing game first and then the run game. I don't know. They got a good playmaker, too, at Pearson L. He was number 15. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
No.
He had 9 catches for 50 and a touch.
David tweets in, what do you think Tomu would look like in the Houston offense? Because he's more efficient but less dynamic. Yeah, him and...
Oh, Tomo and the Houston offense would be
over. I mean, I love P.J. Walker, but I do feel like
Tama's a better passer. Walker's a more elusive runner.
Tomu might be the best passer in the league.
I can't believe he's not backing somebody up.
Well,
or he might be
that's what makes this so weird, because if you have a team that you're rooting for and you have good players, you can't feel comfortable that they're going to be
that's
there
true.
Next year.
That's true.
Like P.J. Walker, Tomu, the Phillips kid, I could see all of them getting a ring from the NFL saying, hey, you look pretty good. You want to come try out or however they do that? Call them up. And then you win a championship in the XFL, and then your team gets – it's like the draft. It's like college. Like the NFL might just be, hey, by the way, all your good players, we'd like to pay them a lot more money. Well, they're not going to turn it down.
People that are hating on the XFL, I'm like, buddy, you're watching teams that would get blasted by these teams on Saturdays and saying that you live and die with it. Like, come on. Like, you're going to hate on somebody for pulling for an XFL team? Like, Jordan Tomu, a couple years out of college, is better than most college quarterbacks when they're in college. You know? I mean, only the elite, like, first-round type of guys are better in college than a guy who has kind of grown a little bit.
I mean, and statistically, what Tomu did at Ole Miss was ridiculous. I mean, we want to talk about production.
I'm surprised he was even available for the XFL.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, how is he not backing somebody up? Backup already. But, yeah, no, if Tomu was with Hal Mumme or June Jones. Poor Hal Mumme. I don't think he has a quarterback.
What are the trade rules in the XFL?
Well, we'll hit it on the flip side. They've got this weird Team 9 thing. We'll explain that, too. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Talking a little XFL football. I'm loving it. Why not? If it folds, I'm not out of anything. Who cares? I feel like they've gotten a lot more right than the AAF, though. They're on the right TV networks. The crowds have been pretty good, I feel like.
I thought the crowds have been better than I expected.
It was loud late in that Houston game. I mean, they play where the Houston Cougars play. And the lower
deck a couple of the players were even saying that.
I thought L.A. had a better crowd than the Chargers did.
Were they in the same stadium? It was definitely a soccer stadium.
Yeah, maybe.
It was where the Galaxy play, because they had the MLS championship stuff up there, maybe. I don't know. Playing them in the soccer stadiums is kind of perfect. I think St. Louis is going to be playing in the big dome, so I don't know if they'll be able to reconfigure that to make it feel small enough. They haven't had a home game yet. And then Dallas, where was Dallas playing last week?
They were home last week in the wasn't it the baseball stadium?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. Where the Rangers play, right?
Yeah.
In Arlington, I guess. Seattle played in CenturyLink. That was a little rough because, you know, a lot of empty seats, of course, there where the Seahawks play.
That's right. I think Dallas plays there this weekend.
D.C. has had two home games. They're 2-0, so maybe they go on the road. They might not play as well. Their venue's pretty cool because it's one of the smaller – It's a soccer stadium, and it looks pretty packed when they're there. Cardale Jones and that defense, pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Anytime you can shut out a team, feel like you're doing pretty. And I mean, their name's the Defender, so it just makes sense.
So the question, if you go to like teams on the XFL page, it just says Team 9. Obviously, there's 8 teams in the league. They got this Team 9 that practices all week, every week, but has no games. The rule is that if you need to replace a guy gets hurt or you cut somebody, you have to pick them off of Team 9 first. It's an extra squad stocked with players available to fill open roster spots on any team in the league at any time.
Wait, is that Russell's team?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. I mean, if you don't pick a team, you're Team 9,
team
right?
Team 9, yeah.
If you're, coward, as someone wrote on the board, can't pick a team. I mean, I think it's a little unfair that some of these guys waited until the game started to pick a team. I feel like it's slightly, you know, cheating to wait, like, it, you know.
Or if you're just going to bounce to the best team that week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chance.
But
Collins,
luckily, Billy picked, you know, the Roughnecks up for
me. He did because
if they had lost, I feel like you would have been jumping on the Battlehawks bandwagon.
No, he just said he's going to go with the best team, and he's like, it'll probably be Houston. So
no, but he said week to week.
Well, we picked Houston to start, so
far they're the best
team. Can't blast him yet.
Yeah, no, but the minute it does, I might.
Chance's the only one that picked DC.
I'd say DC's better right now.
Oh, come on.
This isn't the BCS. Untested. You don't have to decide. Like,
untested.
Both be 2-0. Like,
we should create our XFL rankings, and maybe they'll pick us up as as a league experts.
Yeah. XFL bracketology. What's the bracket looking like, Billy? Who's the 2-seed out west?
I do have your.
Do we get an east and a west team? Like, because like I'll take DC as
my east
team.
There's eight teams. No.
AFC and NFC.
I do have your seed update for St. Louis Battlehawks home opener.
Yeah, can I get some tickets?
Yeah, they're pretty expensive, and they don't have sections like 300 and 400 available.
In defense, there's nothing else to do in St. Louis.
Right, right.
The cheapest ticket on Ticketmaster right now is $90.
What? Wait, that's the actual like original seat, or that's like
that's
the aftermarket?
That's before fees, too.
So there's two undefeated teams currently in the league.
One east, one. You're west, right? Houston's in the west. All the Texas teams are west.
Defenders,
mm-hmm.
My Roughnecks.
So those are the one seeds right now. Mm. And then you have to go to the resume to project the twos, I would assume.
I'm really confused, though, because the Guardians beat the Vipers 23-3 and then got shut out by the Defenders 27-0.
Right, right.
The Defenders in week one beat the Dragons 31-19, mm-hmm. They only beat the Vipers by 8. And then obviously...
Well, Aaron Murray. So by not playing him, the Vipers...
Yeah, it was
a
net
better.
Positive. Yeah, it makes sense, actually. Yeah, but the Guardians, they only give up 3 to the Vipers and then get blanked and give up 27 to the Defenders. Oof. Yikes. Thought the Guardians might be for real, too.
The Vipers are the worst team.
Yeah, they're probably last. Or maybe the Wildcats. We'll see.
There's a
Wildcats have fired their defensive coordinator and they traded their captain already.
I do like that they're making moves.
Yeah, they traded. Let's see here. XFL trade alert: LA Wildcats send disgruntled defensive captain Anthony Johnson to DC Defenders for Bradley Slive.
How disgruntled can you be in week one? Like, what happened? You just got here. You just started. You trained all offseason, and now you're named captain, and you're disgruntled.
Articles from Jordan DeJohnny.
The Vipers have scored 1 touchdown.
Yikes.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if that's how they're going to do the tiebreaker, the touchdown plus minus. That's
what
they have in their standings.
Both the Vipers and Wildcats are -4.
Well, what I don't like is instead of cross-bracketing the playoffs, it's West 1 versus West 2. So basically, Houston's Houston Roughnecks are just going to walk right into the final. Because everybody in the West sucks.
Hold on.
What?
It's a long season. Bob Stoops' teams usually get better as the season goes along.
They have not looked good so far. I know they got to win.
Their defenses look pretty good.
All right. We got to play. We'd have to play DC if the season ended today. I mean, if they had playoffs, not if it just ran out of money.
Yeah, then there would be no games.
Right. That'd just be the end of it.
That's just how that worked.
So, yes, there are trades. I don't know if there's a trade deadline, Billy. I got to find some other sport because I don't know if we're going to get into it next.
Well, I do want to say, like...
But I'm out on baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Outside of L.A., the Roughnecks have had the most touchdowns scored against them.
Yeah, because
it's like LSU. You get up.
Yeah. We're Mike Leach. We just score. Defense gets a little tired because they're, having to play so much. Yeah, and then they give up a couple late touchdowns. Who cares?
Would you say LSU wasn't the best team in college football because they gave up some meaningless touchdowns late?
I would not say that.
No.
Well, 2 of their touchdowns were gifted by, one by the refs and 1 by a turnover in this past game. So, just saying. Sometimes stats slide. It is early, Davey. Good point by you. But I'm done with baseball. Out forever. The strike. Kind of ruined my first baseball fandom as a kid, and now this cheating scandal, I'm done. It's over.
That's a shame for this show. But well, what about Tennessee baseball?
No,
you see what Tennessee did over the
college
weekend?
Baseball, I'm still in.
I do
want Major League Baseball.
I do want a victory lap for Tony Vitello in the next segment because whoa,
put a whooping on him. I mean, it was Western Illinois,
but you whooped him 3 times. We got bats. We got pitching. Look out.
No, I think I'll do more college baseball because no more Major League Baseball. I'm out forever.
Yeah, I think we just talked the same amount of baseball as we did last year. If we're really going to just boil it down to one point, like it's baseball.
No, well, no the most cares. Absurd crap ever happened over the weekend with this whole
thing. It was.
We'll tell you
no, we're
next.
Good. We talk baseball brawls and baseball scandals. That's yes. different than talking
and
actual
balls
baseball.
Just being Tennessee. Yeah.
Glad we got that worked out. Welcome back to Three and Out. I'm mad. I was just when Billy Williford had come and become a part of Three and Out, got me back into baseball. Postseason last year was incredible. My bookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio, that's when I started betting last year, was when baseball, the playoffs hit, and you could bet college football, Major League Baseball playoffs. It was incredible. The Nationals go on that, their kind of Cinderella run. Knock off the Astros. Because they, just out-hit them, basically. And now you have this Astros scandal. And I wasn't even out on baseball because of the scandal. It's the way they've handled the scandal.
They're just trying to sweep it under the rug.
Right. The league's trying to sweep it under the rug. The Astros players feel no remorse. In fact, Carlos Correa has tried to lie about the reason Altuve didn't want his shirt removed after hitting game-winning hits three or four different ways now. One was, well, his wife didn't want his shirt taken off. Like, what?
It's
the
common.
Second was, like, he was embarrassed about something. Then Carlos Correa comes
unfinished
out over the weekend.
Unfinished tattoo.
Well, that's what Carlos Correa comes out and says. He didn't want his shirt taken off because... first of all, how absurd is this? Altuve, at the press conference, basically admits it and apologizes, and then Correa, 3 days later, says, he didn't cheat. Buddy, he just said he cheated. No.
Deny.
Like, well,
deny.
They start trying to get into the difference between did they cheat in 2017 versus 2019.
Oh, my God.
So that's where it's like there's the confusion is because it's like, well, which season are we talking about? And they're not being specific at all. So it then just makes it look like even more of a bleep show
they're,
when they're taking everything.
Was it their manager that said or is their owner,
it was,
GM?
Jim Crane.
He says... Well, I hate that it impacted the game, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then 39 seconds later, go ahead.
Well, it was our Crane, to begin the statement, said our opinion is that it didn't impact the game. And then within 50 seconds later, when Jeff, I think it's Passan of ESPN, he asked him to kind of like clarify. He says, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. It's like,
yes, you did.
You just did.
You literally just did.
I mean, you can't trust them about anything. I mean, the commissioner was asked if they're going to do anything about the Braves chop, and he's like, I can't deal with the Braves chop. I've been dealing with this Astro stuff. And it's like, oh, so you're going to punish the Braves fans for a chop, but you can't punish the Astros players. You were making a mockery of Major League Baseball. And we were laughing about it during the break because it's funny to just be like, I'm out on baseball. I can't stand this, and deal with the drama of it all. But there are pitchers. There's one pitcher that got sent down to the minors because he got shelled by the Astros. He said he had two friends. Same thing happened. You get shelled by the Astros at their park, and your leadership's like, man, you're struggling. You can't pitch. You get sent down to the minors. It's hurting guys' livelihood because you are cheating using video technology. And they had to use software to analyze the catcher signals fast enough to get the signal back to either bang on the trash can 2017 or buzz their buzzers that they had taped to their chest in 2019. Like, it wasn't even like we saw the sign on video and tried to yell out at somebody. They had computer software breaking down the catcher signals over and over and over so they could get the call fast enough. I mean, this would be like, in the XFL, the guys were joking around about, well, if somebody watches a TV over there, they're going to know our play call. But this would be like bugging another earpiece into all 11 defensive players and having a computer program here that Blue Flip 48 Rainmaker is, hey, going to be a RPO here, like telling, like having it decode it that fast and tell them exactly what it is. And the videos are incredible. Even back to the 2017 with just the trash bag or trash can banging. Like, they've got a guy, they've got a dude who's broken it down like, all right, here you go, you can tell. And this is when the pitcher realized it was happening.
And he steps off the mound, yeah.
Yeah, he throws fastball, no banging. The guy, like, fouls it off or whatever. Every time there's a change up in the count, dude takes the pitch every single time. And then finally, it's a full count. He's fouled off a couple fastballs because he knows they're coming. And the pitcher realizes it's happening. Catcher walks out. They do a call just in each other's ear, strikes him out. I mean, it's baloney. And don't get me started on the Holman Road splits when they don't have their camera.
They would get
the Astros might really suck. None of these guys might be any good.
They were getting creamed on the road.
And they don't give a bleep.
What was it like?
They don't care.
I saw a couple of people. Their difference in their at bat percentage was
Like 500%.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
I think more of them was like between 350 and 4.
And the worst part is Major League Baseball is making the same mistake they did during the steroid era. The same mistake that the NBA made with Don. Like, if you have a problem in your league and you just over penalize to clean it up, the fans will forgive you more than if for having the issue to begin with. Then they will if you try and just make it go. Because now the big thing that came out over the weekend is Dusty Baker there is saying, hey, Major League Baseball, you got to protect the Astros players because all these other pitchers are going to hit them. And it's like, well, yeah, because Major League Baseball didn't punish them. So the pitchers are like,
unwritten rule.
I just hit them every time. Throw them up.
Did you happen to see any of the interview that Carl Ravitch did with Rob Manfred?
No.
The commissioner? I've never been more embarrassed for a commissioner in my life. It was the most, well, we investigated about the buzzers and we never found anything. Does that mean they didn't happen? No. But we never, I'm just, it was brutal. And the whole time he's like, what do you think about this in the game? And he couldn't get out of the room fast enough. And it was like a sit-down, one-on-one, like, special interview for Ravitch and ESPN.
How is he not prepared? Like,
because I don't think he knows what to do. I think in his mind, if you strip them of the title, you have this weird titleless year, because I don't think at that point you just award it to the other teams. So he just doesn't want to it's a mess. But this is the problem. Like, people were telling you about this years ago, and you did these super low level baseline, attempts at an investigation, and you didn't dig deep enough. You didn't find anything. And clearly, the Astros didn't care that you were digging because they knew you weren't really trying to find anything. That's the problem. Like, I think they knew and just they told the Astros, guys, just please knock it off. And they didn't. And yeah, that's why I'm like, okay, if you told them that and they still continued to cheat, and now you're just not going to hammer them because you let it go on too long?
Listen,
because that's my guess. My guess is if he were to hammer the Astros would come back and say, well, he knew about this 3 years ago and just told us to chill, and then you would have a melee.
Yeah.
So I think his whole thing is just let it die down. But now the Astros, they can't even get their story straight. We were cheating. No, we weren't. It impacted the game, but oh well. No, it didn't impact. It's not a good look.
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm done with Major League Baseball. Done, over. They won't get a penny. They won't get my eyes on their ads. Like, I'm done. Listen to this quote. It's in the interview you're talking about. The memorandum went to the general manager, and then nothing was done from the GM down. So we knew if we had disciplined the players, in all likelihood, we were going to have grievances and grievances that we were going to lose on the basis that we never properly informed them of the rules. So given those two things, number one, I knew where, or I'm certain where, the responsibilities should lay in the first instance, and given the fact we didn't think we could make discipline stick with the players, we made the decision we made. Having said that, I understand the reaction. The players, some of them in a more articulate way than others, have said, admitted they did the wrong thing, and I understand the people want to see them punished for that, and in a perfect world, they would have been punished. Are you freaking kidding me? This is your leader, Major League Baseball?
No, that's what I'm saying. I've never been more embarrassed for a commissioner. I watched probably, I think I got to see about half of it. And Ravitch, who has covered baseball for ESPN and calls Little League games, I mean, the guy loves the sport. He's sitting there, leaned back in his chair, leg crossed, looking at Manfred as if to say, is this the best you got? Like, is this really what you wanted to come on here and talk about? Because you're really not giving any information other than basically calling you and your entire group of people a bunch of wimps and liars.
I don't,
in a perfect world, we would have punished him. Well, you're the commissioner. Like, your job is to make the league as perfect as it possibly can be. And you failed to do so.
Yeah, I don't think he'd get a lot of backlash for this. There's 29 other teams that would be
fan
in
bases,
his favor.
Yeah.
So you have the players' union that would obviously go up to bat for the Astros because they're the players.
That's what they do.
But then you would have the players hate the players' union, and the MLB would still come out on top on this.
He basically said, I wouldn't have gotten the real story if I didn't give the players immunity. It's like, buddy, the real story's right. Like, we all know the real story. At some point.
But then once they got immunity, you let them keep doing it.
If you kill a guy, and I know you did it, and I have enough evidence to find you guilty, I don't need to know whether there were 4 drops of blood or 3 on the knife. Like, I don't need to know whether you decided to kill him on Wednesday or Thursday to get you convicted of pre. That's what he's doing here. Well, he wants every little detail. So he gives them immunity for something where he needed to just hammer their ass. Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, like, make a comparison to the NFL, whenever Roger Goodell came down on the Patriots and Tom Brady, like, he has the power, and I'm sure Manfred's in the same situation where it's like, 100%. You don't exactly need to know whether this happens. Like, if the preponderance of the evidence just looks like, yeah, that's likely what happened, I mean, everything is pointing to this,
and
you're guilty, man.
Yeah, like, and you should have done something then, like, initially. Punish them then. Don't let this get out of control. But instead, you just let this ball keep rolling down the hill. The Astros had immunity, and clearly they weren't scared of what you were going to do to them, so they just continued to do it. Like, once they continued to do it, I don't know why he didn't just come back and dunk on them. I mean, baseball is having a tough enough time right now.
Yeah.
Why would you do anything that – I mean, Nate, I don't think you're alone. I mean, I don't watch a lot of baseball anyway. But people who are kind of on the fence or like the casual observer, I would say there's a lot of people today just saying, nah. Like, if you don't have a team that you're a diehard for, I don't know why you would really care about baseball now. It's like, how do I know what I'm watching isn't just a complete fabrication?
I'm going to coach my kids' Little League games. I'm going to enjoy Tennessee. Hopefully they're getting better with Tony Vitello. And I'll win the College World Series.
It looked pretty good this weekend.
The College World Series wrapped up. It is on to football season.
45-4 was the run total for Tennessee against Western Illinois this weekend. 45-4.
Nice. Final segment of the program next. Final segment of the program. My bookie, the official sports book. Fan Run Radio. Get all kind of bets in a million different ways. XFL. Maybe we need to petition them to get some college baseball on there now. I've always
just load up on the Vols.
I mean, I've always liked college baseball more than Major League. They went to the between innings timer first.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that was kind of like the SEC football where they put the sign out with the. It's nice just look at the scoreboard and know exactly how much time you have left to get back to your seat or to, you know, be on your phone or whatever. And I don't know if we've mentioned it, but you can now drink beer at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Yes, you can.
So that's a nice bonus if you're going to go out to watch a little Tennessee baseball. So a clean sweep to start the year, right? 3-0 for Tennessee.
They won 3-0 on Friday, which is – not uncommon. That's usually when both teams start their best pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
They won 19-0 on Saturday, and then 23-4 yesterday. They will get Charlotte tomorrow.
4:00.
At Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Watch it on the ESPN app.
Wouldn't be surprised if that one gets rained out. I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow. But then they go to the Round Rock Classic later this week.
I can't wait for these.
Where they'll face Texas Tech, who is currently fourth in the country.
Let's go.
Yeah, Texas Tech, pretty good. Going to be a nice test. They'll also get Houston and Stanford. I don't believe either of those teams are currently ranked, and they are not. They are not in the top 25, but a nice how good are you game against Texas Tech on the 21st.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the weekend, the Round Rock Classic from Round Rock, Texas.
Boy, the TV SEC is well represented in the top
25. I
don't
know what Flow Baseball is. What's Flow Baseball? That's what TV channels are on. Let's look that up.
Never heard of it.
Is that what did we watch the VCU game on? What was that?
Yeah, probably. Something like that.
Similar.
Florida's up to 2 in the country. Vanderbilt has dropped to 5th. Georgia, 7. Mississippi State, 9. Arkansas, 11. Auburn, 12. LSU, 13. Ole Miss, 15. And then that's your...
Well, you know, the SEC schedule, though, is still really good for Tennessee because...
Don't we open up against Vanderbilt?
No, we're at South Carolina to start. Mm. All the most of the road series are against the weaker teams, which is
incredible.
You said Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the season, Arkansas is at home. A&M's on the road. Kentucky's at home. Georgia's on the road. Florida, really good team, at home.
Georgia's 7th right now. They're good.
Yeah, so that's probably your toughest road match. Well, you didn't say Alabama, did you?
Mm-mm. They're not in the top 25.
You get to go to Alabama. You start the season, like I said, at South Carolina, who used to be really good, not so good now.
I think they're predicted ahead of Tennessee, though, if I'm not mistaken.
I think one poll I saw, and because polls are hard to find, but it was Tennessee, then South Carolina in the East. Tennessee was, 4th, I guess? Georgia, Vandy, Florida, Tennessee, then South Carolina. You get to go to Missouri, which is, you'd rather do that than have to go to some of these other good teams. You get LSU, who's really good, at home. You get Vanderbilt, really good, at home. And, as I mentioned, South Carolina, road game. So, you got a pretty good schedule for Tony V. I know they lost a lot of pitching off last year's team, but they've restocked. They've got some, at least one good starter from that pitched a lot a year ago, and it seems like, I know it's only the first series, but holy cow, how about the bats? 19 runs and then 23 runs?
Yeah, they had yesterday for the sweep, they had 8 runs in the second inning, 7 in the seventh, and the innings between were 1 run, 2 run, no runs, 2 runs, and they had 3 in the eighth as well. And then obviously the bottom of the ninth, they didn't get to bat because they were up by 19. But 2 19 run wins over the weekend. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Get into this Tennessee baseball a little bit more. It's gonna be hopefully a fun year. It's one of those sports where I think Tennessee fans of other sports can get into it when they're good.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you know, you're not going to be a diehard when they're not very good. So, hopefully Tennessee's softball and baseball programs will have good years here in 2020. Tweet of the weekend from one in stripes. He's quoting someone else. Dusty Baker doesn't want the Astros guys getting hit or thrown at. And the tweeter said, quote, "I thought Astros hitters liked knowing what was coming."
It's not bad.
Ba-dum-tsh. Absolutely.
Over under 4 brawls for the Astros this year.
Oh, over.
Let's go. That'll be good for baseball.
I mean, the unwritten rules are there. There might be more baseball in this show this year.
Brawls.
We'll just watch the brawl highlights.
Brawls, and scandals.
I like it. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.